Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 148. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director, and I am here with Security News Writer Alex Kalafi. Alex, welcome.
Thanks, Rob. Always a pleasure to be here in Chernobyl. Wait a second. We're not in Chernobyl.
No, we're not. We are in uncharted territory. We are not in Chernobyl. We are doing this over Skype from our respective home offices because, a lot has changed since our last podcast, Alex. Yes. I was just looking at this. We recorded our last podcast. It went up on March 6th, mm-hmm. and we recorded it a couple days earlier, I believe. And it was our RSA recap, and one of the things we talked about in there was, hey, we made it. we made it through. Neither one of us got sick. There was no word that anyone had gotten sick at that point. Everything mm-hmm. seemed to be kind of in the clear. Things seemed good. And last week, things started to take a turn.
Yeah.
And man, it happened quickly.
Yeah, life happened quickly. Like, first there was the RSA news that two people, I think it's still two people, got sick. Mm-hmm. One of them got very seriously sick. Then after that, we were like a little unnerved about it. And then the world sort of fell apart. So
it
all happened so quick.
It really did. So that story that Bloomberg first broke, I think it was, that happened on Monday, I believe. Yeah, March 10th. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, a story about two employees of Exabeam, cybersecurity company, and they attended RSA. And one of the individuals was a 45-year-old who is now in guarded condition, or that may have been actually upgraded from that at this point, but was in guarded condition at the time the story was written, but had been hospitalized and had been in a medically induced coma. So that you never want to see that.
No. So
that happened Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, things started to happen where, an NBA player tests positive. They start canceling games. And in the span of about 48 hours, you know, the NCAA tournament is canceled. Virtually every conference and convention that had been on the calendar for the next few months was canceled. My event in New Orleans, MSP World, that was supposed to take place this week was postponed until the fall, or I think end of September. And it just happened really, really quickly. And now we're in a situation where we're all being told to practice social distancing. If you can stay home and not go into the office and not go anywhere, you know, please do so. And, you know, national emergency, state emergencies, obviously everywhere. It's been sort of a crazy unraveling, it just happened so fast. Although there were people predicting that this may happen based on what was going on in other countries, so I guess it shouldn't be that much of a surprise. But this is the new reality, I guess, for us for now.
Yeah, for at least a little while. I'm just happy to do this podcast because I'm happy to talk to someone.
I mean,
granted, we both live with people, so like it's not like that that dark, but it's nice to hear from you, Rob.
No, it's nice to hear from you, Alex. I mean, I don't want my house turning into Overlook Hotel at any point soon. reference to The Shining for anyone out there who didn't catch it. We're gonna keep doing our work as best we can. We'll hopefully record our regular podcast, do our usual number of stories. We'll try to keep up on what's going on in InfoSec as best we can as this goes on. Just hoping the network bandwidth and our internet connections hold steady and that there's no, I guess, no issues there. So
I have a prediction, Rob.
Yes, go.
I think you might agree with, might not agree with, but with your experience, you'll at least be able to correct me or not correct me. Okay. So I think that there's going to be news in the following weeks, even though nothing's happening really in a corporate sense, but said news is going to be cyber attack related.
Yeah. Yes. I think you're probably right. So let's get into it, because okay. You wrote a story, and Ariel, our colleague on the security news team here, also wrote a story that touched on this. But basically, you know, I'll introduce the topic, and then I'll let you kind of take it away and get into the nitty gritty. But, you know, as expected, cyber threats around coronavirus have increased over the past couple months. They were already sort of taking off in January, but especially in February and obviously now in March as things have really escalated. And it's nothing out of the ordinary. People do this all the time. They seek to take advantage of major events, whether it's catastrophes or things like that. I mean, I remember there was stuff going around, you know, with previous sort of warnings of possible disease outbreaks, phishing links and fake URLs or malicious URLs and malicious apps that were seeking to get a foothold on, various users. And it's sad to see. And you obviously don't need that nonsense on top of everything else that's going on. But it was, you know, everybody was kind of expecting that. But now, according to what you just wrote, your article that came out yesterday, Alex, we're looking at a potentially for the situation to worsen quite a bit on the cyber attack front. I mean,
yeah. So my article was basically about how 2019 was really bad for ransomware, especially against health organizations and municipalities, and that 2020 with the whole coronavirus situation and people taking advantage of tragedy, as they unfortunately always do, this year could be even worse for it. And we reached out to a bunch of different experts from across cybersecurity, some of which we talked at RSA, some of which we sort of connected to for the first time. And I think it was interesting to write that story, and I think it's interesting to read it. And I think in a world where most of the RSA coverage is like, here's a new phishing scam that's happening, I think that our story, like, I think we advanced the narrative a little bit, Rob.
Yeah, I think, I mean, again, everybody kind of expects this to, you know, for hackers and threat actors to take advantage of this stuff, whether it's low-level scams or whether it's more complex schemes. I think the thing that's a little different in this case is, you know, the people that you and Ariel and I talked to as well are now sort of saying, well, this is probably going to worsen and include ransomware because, well, I mean, this is like printing money for them. If they hit a hospital or they hit a government agency that's in the midst of corona response or whatever, they've got patients in their hospital or they're trying to get information out or they're doing triage and trying to handle, a medical crisis, pandemic in their locality or their city or whatever, they can't afford. I mean, they can't even afford the smallest of smallest amount of downtime. And so the idea is that the threat actors know this and they know that these targets are going to be more likely to pay. And you just, you know, I gotta point out, like 5 years ago, there was this sort of I don't want to say it was honor among thieves. I think I've talked about this before. I've definitely talked about it before, but may have talked about it recently. There was this sort of, I don't want to say it was a code, but it's sort of an understood sort of unwritten rule that, you know, hey, let's not try to bring down hospitals. Let's not try to, you know, cripple healthcare facilities and cause loss of life and hurt people that, you know, don't deserve to be hurt by shutting down their you know, their care and locking down a hospital and just grinding everything to a halt. That seems to have completely changed over the last 5 years. And now it's anything goes. And as you know, Arielle pointed out in one of her stories, Risk IQ had that report where they said, yeah, this is the way it's trending. And we haven't seen any attacks yet. But this all signs, historical signs sort of point to it escalating to this point. And it's really, as you said, it's a warning sign. It's a warning shot. It's a really sobering, you know, story to read when you're in the midst of a crisis like this, and to know that there are people out there who are going to seek to take advantage of it to this level. It's just really, it's tough. It's really tough.
I think part of the reason why that honor among thieves dissipated might have been with the not the globalization of cybercrime, because cybercrime has been happening everywhere around the world, but perhaps sure. The globalization of ransomware and how ransomware, even though many people all around the world were using ransomware, it's kind of like now they made ransomware in template form for people who aren't skilled technologically to do it, which is, and I don't know, maybe that's part of it.
No, I think the sort of the ransomware as a service, the whole economy that's popped up. I mean, anybody can get their hands on it. They could be kids who, you know, quote unquote script kiddies that don't know any better and are just stupid kids and think that it's, you know, or just not oblivious, but just sort of don't really understand the full measure of their actions and are flinging ransomware out there, and it just happens to unfortunately hit a hospital that has, you know, RDP exposed or has weak RDP passwords or whatever, or they hit a, you know, a public health agency that, you know, is doing a lot of the coordination and getting a lot of the information out there to people about the threat. And the thing that I really worry about is not as much those guys like the script kiddies. What I worry about is, you know, let's say North Korea or another organization out there, like a more sophisticated operation says, well, this is the perfect time to really screw with the U.S. And they, you know, a WannaCry level attack happens, and it's one that's sort of directed more towards, you know, the weak end of the security food chain. So, local governments and hospitals and healthcare organizations that have been obviously victimized a lot before, but, you know, they take advantage of the situation and they target those sort of, vulnerable institutions specifically because they know they're weakened, because they know they're more likely to pay. That's what I worry about. And in the case of North Korea, like if it's a WannaCry level attack like that, I mean, that wasn't even for payment. That was essentially a wiper attack. It was a destructive malware. They weren't even trying to receive Bitcoin for that. So it's just, that's what I really am fearing. And I hope it doesn't happen. I hope everybody sort of understands what's at stake here. And this isn't the time for, you know, cyber, you know, war games and gamesmanship here. But you never know. I mean, there's always people who are going to try to take advantage of situations like this. So,
right. What comes to mind is Iran, you know?
Yeah, Iran too. Yeah.
Except they're having a really tough time with the coronavirus too right now. So I don't think they're in the position to, maybe.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I, again, you're hoping.
Right.
That people understand that an attack of that nature right now could very well and maybe likely will lead to loss of life. And it's just there's too much going on for that type of of nonsense, unless you really are trying to cause loss of life, in which case, you know, now you're getting into a different story. You're wading more into, you know, I hate using the term cyber terrorism or cyber act of war, but I mean, that's sort of the theoretical threshold, I guess, that experts have talked about for years, you know, an attack that is purposefully trying to trigger loss of life. So it's just unfortunate. And you know, we should note that, you know, Ariel's story last week already sort of delved into this a little bit, because there was apparently a ransomware attack on, I believe it was the Champaign-Urbana public health
district.
Yeah, public health district website. Apparently they restored the website. Not sure how. The details on that have not been – there haven't been a lot. I guess it was the NetWalker variant of ransomware, but they got it back up pretty quickly. But, you know, you just hope it's unfortunate timing, I guess.
Yeah.
And not something that was specific. But, you know, fingers crossed, obviously.
Right.
But you mentioned you expect more, like you're sort of predicting more cyber attacks. Do you think that people are sort of going to, understand what's at stake and not do this? Or are you sort of fearing the worst, as I usually do?
So I'm for this coronavirus situation as a whole, I've been like mildly optimistic, but in this specific facet of the coronavirus cyber attacks, given what we've already seen, what we saw last year, how we already saw hospitals being attacked, how we've already seen a low level DDoS attack hit health officials. What's the organization?
U.S. Health and Human Services.
U.S. Health and Human Services.
Their network got hit.
Yeah.
Which I want to talk about before we wrap up.
Right. But I think we're going to have plenty of work to do in the upcoming weeks, and unfortunately, it's going to be because of cyber attacks. That's my prediction.
Yeah. I think that's probably a safe prediction. Although I do, you know, on the subject of the Health and Human Services, quote unquote, cyber attack. So this is one thing I do worry about. And I realize I just mentioned North Korea and WannaCry. So I'm on the same wavelength as a lot of people, just hoping that, you know, fearing that a nation state cyber attack could start to make things worse here, but also hoping it doesn't happen. So I think it was on Monday, there was another story from Bloomberg. Cyber attack hits U.S. health agency amid COVID-19 outbreak. And this was a story that said that I believe it was Sunday. The Health and Human Services Department suffered a cyber attack on its computer system, part of what people familiar with the incident called a campaign of disruption and disinformation that was aimed at undermining the response to the corona pandemic and may have been the work of a foreign actor, quote unquote. So, you know, like you, I saw that and I went, whoa, like a lot of people. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. So just to pump the brakes on this story, yes, it was an attempted disruption, but it was a low-level DDoS attempt. It wasn't even really an attack. I don't think they successfully knocked anything offline. They just – I think they maybe slowed some stuff down on their network end, it sounds like, and they got things taken care of pretty quickly. So I hesitate to even use the term cyber attack in this case. But the thing that sort of makes me a little concerned here is that you know, the individuals that passed this information on to Bloomberg, it feels like they're overstating it a little bit. Yes, there probably is misinformation out there. There probably are a lot of hackers doing network scans and maybe even throwing junk traffic out there. But I think if we're going to say that somebody is conducting a cyber attack to disrupt coronavirus response, like, I think we should sort of save that rhetoric for example, when there is a ransomware attack, that brings down a network or brings down a hospital's operations or something like that. I don't think a DDoS attempt does not rise to that level of the rhetoric in that story and sort of the urgency that it conveys. And Bloomberg, I mean, so Bloomberg first reported this, but other outlets sort of chimed in as well, non-cyber outlets, but a lot of the cybersecurity folks, a lot of the InfoSec reporters out there, you know, reading them on Twitter, they said, well, wait a minute, let's pump the brakes here. This isn't like a major event. This is, we're getting a little carried away with this. And good for them because it's, you know, anybody, any fool can launch a denial of service attack or an attempt. This is not something that we need to get bent out of shape about and sort of overstate the seriousness. So
I think it's a hint of cybersecurity misinformation that could become a problem down the line. But I think that in itself is a small piece of the larger problem, which is coronavirus misinformation just in general. And I recommend, we won't go into it now because that's not necessarily our beat, but I want to recommend that people watch the John Oliver parts 1 and 2 of the coronavirus coverage that he did, where he dives deep into some of the misinformation that's happening in general. And it's scary times.
And Lord knows we have plenty of time to catch up on John Oliver or whatever other shows we have in our queues right now. I don't think we're going anywhere anytime soon. Alex, I appreciate you connecting with me on Skype. It's good, like you said, it's good to talk to somebody who is not sharing the same apartment or house with you.
Yes.
I look forward to doing this again next week. Or you never know. We may need to do an emergency podcast. The way things are going, I wouldn't put that out of the realm of possibility. So,
emergency podcast is the most 2020 thing I think I've ever heard.
It's pretty,
But thank you, Rob.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Search Security. I'm Rob Wrights, and we will see you next time.